I quote Matthew chapter 5, verse 13 quite a bit, because a lot of people don't understand that if you're not actively doing what the Lord's called you to do, the passage there in verse 13 says, ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost its savor, it is good for nothing. And what's good? What's the savor for the salt? The salt is to influence. Sharon and I, a lot of times we'll eat there in our. We've got a love seat recliner, and we've got a console in between there, and we have a salt shaker there. She uses it sometimes. I use it all the time. But you know what I'm going to get upset with? If that salt doesn't flavor my food, if that salt does not influence my food the way I want it to, I'm going to dump it out and try to find some salt that'll work. Amen? Well, I want you to understand, you and I are the salt that God wants to influence this world. Okay? And I could go through the things that salt does. It heals. It's got healing properties. It's a preservative. The old timers, they didn't have refrigeration. They'd put salt on the ham. They'd keep it salted. And why would they do that? Because it would preserve the meat. It would kill the. And I'm not going. I don't want to mess your mind up. But there's parasites in the pork. Okay. Okay, that's why they have to put things in there to kill the parasites. They used to use the salt, and that would kill the parasites, and they'd put it in a smokehouse and things like that to make sure. But I want you to understand that salt has a preserving property. It's got some preserving values. That's what you and I are supposed to do. You know what's going on in our world today is that not many people are preserving the holiness in this world. And it's getting nauseating to those of us that are trying to make a difference, as well as I'm sure it just downright stinks in the nostrils of the Lord. And so it says, and I told the church, and I've said this before, but I've told the church in Kansas City, that Sharon and I told them straight up, I said, we did not move from Florida to Missouri to start another good-for-nothing church. There's plenty to choose from. Plenty of them that are doing nothing for Jesus. Plenty of them that are wrapped up in their own selves and not trying to make a difference in the world, not influence in the world. And I could spend some time there and already have some, but that's not where I want to focus. Let's read verses 14 and 15. Let's stand in honor of the Word of God. In fact, let's read the verses together, verse 14 and 15. Ye are the light of the world. Everybody together. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love and mercy, and what a blessing it is to know that you've made us a light. Now, Lord, we know we don't have a light in ourselves, of ourselves. You're the light that we have. But, Lord, we're asking you to help us. Let us hear from you this evening. Lord, we need to hear from you. Lord, I thank you that the Word of God is true. It's what we need. It's what challenges us. It's what corrects us. It's what gives us direction as well as protection. Lord, we ask you to move. Let your Spirit have his way and keep the preacher out of your way and in your will. And Lord, let us hear, each one hear, the message you have for us. For it's in that holy name, that mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. You can be seated. The focus tonight, I want to focus on the word candlestick. And there's a number of aspects to the candlestick. And in verse 15, it's talking about the fact that it says, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel. I do not have to tell you. We kind of lost the concept of what a candle's for. I was considering bringing a candle or just a simple flashlight and have somebody turn out all the lights and see the difference in here. There's no windows in here. This place gets dark with no lights on. I mean, you're not going to find your way. You're going to have to feel your way out. And it's tough to do, but I want you to understand, we've gotten kind of spoiled in the fact that we've gotten accustomed to electricity. But when a hurricane comes, all of a sudden the power goes out. Sometimes you have to have a candle. But the candle is absolutely worthless until you light it. What good is a candle that's not lit? Kind of like a gun that's not loaded, right? Kind of like a car with no gas. And what I want you to understand is there's a purpose. The first point is the purpose for the candlestick. The purpose of the candlestick is not to be hid. The purpose of the candlestick is to shed light. Sharon and I, and Becky and Bill, when they were little, we went to Ruby Falls in Chattanooga, Tennessee, and we went down an elevator, and they said that we only went down about 100 feet, but once we get down to the underneath, then they said as you're walking, the mountain goes higher, and so all of a sudden, within a matter of 50 yards or so, to go straight up, you're talking about we're 1,100 feet down. From 100 feet to 1,100 feet. And the waterfalls were just downright gorgeous because they had these colored lights on it, and it was really pretty. But they turned the lights out. I'm telling you, it was dark. You had to feel your eyelids to see whether they were opening or not. I mean, it was dark, that dark. I want you to understand this world is spiritually dark. It's not a good place. It's getting darker all the time. Because what happens here is the fact that so many that claim to be Christians either aren't Christians or they're hiding their light. And why would somebody hide their light? Well, first off, let's deal with the first issue. Do they really have a light? Now, everybody is a candle, okay? People are candles. That's the picture there. But the only way you have a light is when you're saved.
That's right.
Okay? You have no light. On the bus, we sing, "This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine." And I want you to understand, I understand that concept, and what we need to do is to realize that why is it your light's more important today than it was 20 years ago, or even a year ago? It's because everybody else is either don't have a light or hiding their light. Now, why would you hide the light? You see, that's the other side. Not only is there a purpose for the light, the purpose of the light is right there in the passage. It says, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light to all that are in the house. When you shine your light for Jesus, anybody that comes in contact with you will notice.
Right.
Okay, they'll notice. They might not like it. A lot of times they won't. But guess what? I had Brother Myron, I'm going to mention him because he was passing out tracts yesterday before he came to church for door knocking. And he said he was passing out tracts and he was at the drugstore. And a man in the drugstore, he refused to take tract. Well, that's his option. But then he turned to Brother Myron and said, stop doing that, because Brother Myron was passing them out to other people. And Brother Myron says, I'm going to keep doing it. He says, you can't make me stop this. I got news for you. The world will try to put your light out. But there are people in this world that claim to be Christians that have no light, or they're compromising, they're not shining their light. Why would they not shine their light? Well, Romans chapter 10, verse 13, or verse 11 says, he that believeth on him shall not be ashamed. So why would they be ashamed? Well, maybe they're not believers. But one of the things we also know is the fact that there are a lot of people that want to blend into the world. You can't shine your light for Jesus and blend in to the world. It's virtually impossible. You're going to have to compromise on one place or the other. Either you're going to have to say, no, I'm not going to go to the beer store. No, I'm not going to listen to those dirty jokes. No, I don't want to go out on my wife. No, I don't want to do this. I don't want to do that. That's not where I'm going. And then you turn right around and say, why do you do that? Don't you want to go to heaven? Why don't you get saved? You see, the world is influencing us as Christians so much more than we're influencing the world. We're letting too much of the world in us, and in the church, and in our families, and in our lives. And when we do that, the light starts dimming. We're having to trim the light down. We had one of those kerosene lamps. You can turn that wick, move that wick up to where it shines brighter, or you can turn it down to where it almost goes out. And I see a lot of Christians that have trimmed their lamp back to a point where they're not making a difference. And why would somebody not want people to know that they're saved? And to me, why would you want to fit in with the devil's crowd to start with? Let's look at it from that aspect. Why would you want to fit into the devil's crowd? I hear people all the time talking about, I know some guys I used to work with, and one of them both of them know I'm a preacher now, and one of them tells me that him and this other guy that we used to work with, they go out every once in a while for coffee. So I mentioned it to the other guy, and he said, we don't go out for coffee, we go get a beer. Now, why would one guy tell me coffee and the other one tell me a beer? He's wanting to blend in. He's wanting to fit in. I want you to understand, we have a problem in our world today. We've got yellow Christians, if they're Christians at all, and I'm afraid that they're really not saved. A lot of them aren't saved. And you say, well, why do we have trouble sometimes keeping people here at the church? Maybe because preaching's too straight. Maybe it's too hard. Maybe they're under conviction and they don't want to give up their sin. They don't want to give, I don't know. I'm not bragging on me. All I'm saying is I'm going to preach the book the way it ought to be preached. I want people to get saved. I want lives to be changed. And I don't want us trimming back our light. And it says, I've entitled the message, Our Candlestick. Now look at verse 16. This is a good verse. I memorized it many years ago. It says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. When people look at you and I as Christians, they know that there are certain things that you can't do, that I can't do, but they see happen in our lives. And they realize, hey, that's not him. That's not her. Something's going on. And they realize that God's working.
Amen.
God's real. God's got a plan. And it's not just, you know, you realize that God doesn't pick and choose. Oh, I'm going to use this one, but I'm not going to use that one. The power of God, the blessings of God are for anybody that'll do it His way. He does not discriminate at all. Doesn't matter what color your skin is. Doesn't matter what language you speak. Doesn't matter how rich or poor, what side of the tracks you came from. It doesn't matter. His blessings are there for anybody that does it His way. Just ask Cain. Read Genesis chapter 4. Cain tried to do it his own way. Didn't work too well for him. But not only is there a purpose for the candlestick, and that's to shed light to those around, not only are there problems because some of them try to hide their light, but there's a place for the candlestick. Go to Revelation. We were there this morning. Revelation chapter 1. I've been having fun with Revelation, and I think some of the people in Sunday school have. We just have a good time. We run the Bible and put the pieces together, and we'll take a statement and run it all together and to put all the pieces together and understand what the Bible's saying at that point. But here what we see is the fact, I'm going to read verse 20, Revelation chapter 1, verse 20, it says, in the mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand. By the way, the right hand, whenever you see the right hand, it always means the side of favor. Okay? If you go to Matthew chapter 25, you're going to see that the sheep are on the right hand, the side of favor. That's a picture of salvation. And the left hand is the side of condemnation or judgment. So these stars, the apostle John, Jesus is talking here, and he says, the mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches. Now if you go to, I'm not going to spend much time there, but verse 11 outlines the seven different churches. They also have letters going to them in chapter 2 and chapter 3. We'll start on chapter 2 next week in Sunday school, but it talks about, it calls the seven churches by name. By the way, they were in Asia Minor. It was not called Asia in Japan and Korea and China and all at that time. But what they're talking about are churches in Asia Minor, which is what we would call Turkey today. And it says those seven churches are listed there. And it says the seven stars are the angels of the seven churches. Now, Where a lot of people mess up with the term angel is the fact that they miss out on the fact that the word angel simply means messenger. Okay? That an angel can be a heavenly messenger. There are times that the Lord Jesus is an angel. He's the messenger at some points in the Bible. There are times that the prophets would be considered angels because they're the ones that are bringing the message. But the angels of the seven churches are the pastors. Okay? Nothing special about this preacher except the office that he holds. My job is to deliver the message. That's what the term angel is. Okay? But look at what it says, and it says, "And the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches." I want you to understand the best place to get your candle lit is at the church. The best place for you to keep your candle lit is at the church. The best place for you and I to shine brightly together is in the local church. The Lord's got a plan. It was, and by the way, this is not my interpretation. This is the Lord's interpretation. The candlestick is supposed to shine brightly. And there are a lot of people, I'm going to go ahead and say this. Sharon, when she was working at, she was a reception at a particular business, and the pastor's wife of a church in Bartow came by and asked her where she went to church. And she told the lady, Bible Baptist Church. Now this, we'd only been there in Bartow a couple years, I guess, at that point. And she said, "Oh, your husband's the pastor of that church." Hey, why would she respond like that? She responded that way because we've been letting people know. We've been doing what the Lord wants us to do. We've been knocking doors. We've been passing out tracts. Think about how many thousands of tracts, how many thousands of doors we've knocked on in 8 years. Best I can collect, we've passed out. Now, I know that the tracts that we pass out, some go in Lakeland, some go to Winter Haven, some go to Lake Wales, some go Fort Meade. I know that, and all over Bartow. But in Polk County, we have probably passed out somewhere around 65 or 70,000 tracts, not counting the door hangers that we've passed out. I want you to know, I'm not bragging on me, I'm bragging on the church. We've got a burden. Why is that important, preacher? Because I want us to keep our light bright. I want us to keep shining the light so people know whenever they've got a burden, whenever they want to hear from God, they know where to come. There's nothing special. God's not going to do anything more special for us than He is anybody else that does things His way. Any church. But the light needs to be shining bright. We do a lot of songs like "Let the Lower Lights Be Burning." There's a song called "The Lighthouse." I want you to know, some of the songs that we sing are important to keep the concept of the fact that we are supposed to be shining and letting the world see. Hey, how many of you, and probably every hand will go up, but how many of you have tried to walk around in dark and stubbed your toe or tripped or broke something? Just about every one of us. I'm going to tell you a story, and some of you might have heard it, some of you might not have, but I guess Bill was about seven, Becky was about 9. We were in the mountains of North Carolina. It was the last night. We had rented a cabin up there on the side of a mountain, and trees all around. It was gorgeous, nice and quiet. The last night there, the lights go out. The power goes out. Sharon wakes me up. Wake up. The lights are out. Now, we always, in a strange place like that, even in our home, we keep a light on somewhere in the house. But all the lights were out, and we were in a strange place. And she says, I see some lights. It looked like somebody outside the window with a flashlight. So brave me, I get up and get my gun. And I walk, and I'm trying to feel my way around because it's what little bit of light's coming. I'm not able to see it much. And I'm walking around, and I walk around the corner, and I start laughing. And she said, "What are you laughing at?" And I said, "I can't stop laughing." And she's saying, "What is it? What is it?" And finally, I regained my composure. And what happened was Becky and Bill had captured some lightning bugs. And they were in a little plastic salad container. But it was around the corner in the room that they were in. And we could see it. We were in one room, and there was a little hallway, and there, the room that they were in was right around the corner. And we could actually see the light flickering from the lightning bugs around the corner. That's how dark it was. But I want you to understand, how did we see that light? Number one, it was extremely dark. Number two, those lightning bugs were doing what you and I need to do. God put a light in them. And they were just shining the light like God wanted them to. And this world needs you and I to shine the light that God has put inside of us. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. We as Christians, if we're ashamed of Jesus, then you go ahead and hide your light. We were singing the song a while ago, and I mentioned it when we sang the song, "Brighten the corner where you are." I used the illustration a while ago about salt. I don't put all the salt on one bite. I like salt, but not that much. Okay? And so each one of us has our own realm of influence. And that's what the Lord wants. For 7 years, there were other Christians that working for the Citrus Connection. But one of the things they knew is, hey, got a prayer request, go hunt up the preacher. I had people get on my bus. Some of them caught me before as I'm trying to get on my bus to take off. They're standing there in the doorway and say, "Preacher, preacher, I need you to pray for me. Let's pray now." Guess what I did? I prayed. I had some of them praying on the bus. Some of them wanted me to pray when they were getting off the bus, blocking the people behind them. We've got to shine our light. This world needs us. More than ever, your light is needed. Let's go one more place. John chapter 3. We're all familiar with John 3:16. We're going to read the following verses after that. John 3:17 is an extremely good verse too. Goes right in line with John 3:16. Let's read 17. I'm going to read it starting with 17. It says, "For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." Look at verse 19. "And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than the light, because their deeds were evil." There are a lot of people that would never darken the doors of a church because they'd rather have their sin. They like the darkness. But when people have a problem and the Lord's really stirring them, they know where to come. Our job as a Christian, this is what Jesus has called us to do, is just to shine our light. Just to let people know he's the answer that they're looking for. He's the one they need. And that's how we keep our savor, keep our salt salty. I'm excited to see the tracks disappear. I'm excited to see the kids reading the tracks and passing them out. We all need to shine our light. And like I preached Wednesday night, so much the more as you see the day approaching. So much the more. Every day it's getting darker in our world. And God's got lights. Some of them are saved. I believe some of them are saved, but they've trimmed their light back. I want to trim mine up to where it shines as bright as it can. I hope you do the same. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love and mercy. What a blessing it is to know you, to see you work. Lord, what a blessing it is to know that you've put a light inside of us when we got saved. Lord, that's the only way we could have a light. Just like those lightning bugs. Lord, we just ask you to help us. Not to be ashamed, not to trim back our light, but to turn it up. And so much the more as we see the day approaching. Lord, use the invitation. Draw us closer to Jesus through the invitation. For it's in Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. Let's stand.